Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
I feel Jesus tonight, and I'm so grateful for what I feel. You know, it's not everybody in the world can feel what we're feeling right now. Not everybody in the world, you know, knows to cry out to God, or kind of under their sorrow, their pain, their hurt, trying to find a way to be able to feel what you feel right now. And so what a privilege it is just to be able to feel this liberty. You feel that in the atmosphere, the liberty, the Holy Ghost. And that's an exciting thing. And I'm grateful for that. I want to ask that you would open your Bibles with me to Proverbs 18 and 21. Proverbs 18, 21. And I also want to take a moment and thank God for those that were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What an exciting time. I mean, what an absolutely exciting time. Thank you so much for those that helped in the altar, were praying with people that were seeking the gift of the Holy Ghost. I mean, that is a great thing. You know, when you see somebody start speaking in tongues for the first time, and they get all excited, you know, because it's their first time feeling the Spirit of God coming to live inside of them. And that should be an exciting time. When they get excited, you know, and you're there praying with them, you get excited. You know, you get revived all over again. And that's a great, great opportunity to be able to experience that with somebody, and it really knits you together with them, and you know, and that's an amazing thing. So I honor those that were helping in the altar. You know, if you ever at all feel to pray with somebody here throughout the course of these services, or even when I'm gone, especially when I'm gone, you know, help your pastor out, of course, and others that are here to preach, and don't be afraid to pray with anybody, and I'm sure you will experience that revival all over again for yourself. I also want to honor your pastor and his wife and their family. Amen. Let's give a little round of applause for them. They're great, great people of God. And I also want to honor my wife and my two boys who are with me over here. I appreciate them very much. I love them. You can give them a round of applause too. That's all right. Amen. I am so grateful for them. Proverbs 18, 21. The Bible says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I'm going to read it one more time so everybody can really, really get it. Here it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I want to, I didn't give them this scripture. I don't know if they'll be able to maybe follow me on this, but Ezekiel 37 and verse 5. And the Bible says, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you and bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And the prophet Ezekiel said, verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, the shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Amen. Let's go ahead and put our Bibles to one side, and let's just lift up our hands all over this place, and let's thank God for what he's about to do. Jesus, we give you glory. We thank you for the privilege to be in this house right now. I pray that you would anoint my mind and loose my tongue to speak your word here today. I give you glory. I thank you, Almighty God, for what you're doing. I loose the gift of faith in this atmosphere that your will be done, Jesus. We love you. We magnify you. We thank you. Why don't we clap our hands one more time and thank God. Amen. What a privilege to be here. Go ahead. Why don't you shout unto God, as the Bible said, to clap your hands, all ye people, and to shout with the voice of triumph. Amen. Tonight I want to talk to you for a brief moment on this topic, the power of the tongue. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the power of the tongue. Amen. After that, shake somebody's hand around you and you may be seated. Now, I am grateful once again to be in the house of the Lord, and I really feel a word from the Lord on this subject, being the power of the tongue, and or being that death and life is in the power of the tongue. I realize there are principles in the Word of God that we live by. Most people that are God-fearing try their very best to live by, and they reap the benefits of those principles. For example, one of the principles in the Word of God that really transcends time and eras and all of that history is give and it shall be given unto you, right? And my dad, I'm not going to teach about tithes and offering, all right, or preach about tithes and offering, so don't get scared. My dad pastors a church in Los Angeles, and I remember we started the church. I was 12 years old, and it was a whole lot of work. We'd get Bible studies. I mean, we did absolutely everything, even though we didn't know how to do it. We still found a way to do it. Matter of fact, quick stories had nothing to do with my message, but I just got to get some off my chest. And my dad, he's the kind of person to just throw you in there. You know, he'd say, all right, I just want you to do this right now. You do that, you do that. I mean, that was it. If you didn't know how to do it, he'd say, well, figure it out. Get it done. So I was 12 years old. I'll get back to the message in a minute, but I got to tell you this, all right? I was 12 years old. I'm confessing right now. And my dad was in the office. It was like a Wednesday or something before church. And he said, hey, you see that young guy back there? I said, yeah, yeah. He said, I want you to grab my Search for Truth chart. And it was a chart that we would use to give Bible studies with. It was huge, almost bigger than me anyways. And you kind of spiral the page up like this and pull them back. And so I didn't know how to give a Bible study except for what I had seen my dad do. He would take me with him to go give Bible studies. And he taught me all kinds of neat things, you know, and how to meet someone's need and so on. For example, we'd give a home Bible study to somebody and he'd say, now listen, this was back in the day when they didn't have the water, you know, dispenser in the refrigerator. This is people used to keep their jug of water in the refrigerator. And so he'd say, when we ask for a cup of water, I want you to look into the fridge. And if they don't have any groceries, we're going to go buy them groceries and come back and bless them. You know, just things like that he taught me. And so anyway, I remember this one day he said, grab that chart. And I want you to see that young man back there. I said, yeah, there was a guy about 11 years old sitting back there. And he said, you know, I want you to give him a Bible study right now. And he said, on the power of the Holy Ghost and baptism in Jesus' name. And so I was like, you don't say no. My dad's like 6'4", 350 pounds. He's just a big guy, you know, all around. And so you don't say no at all. Even if you want to, you just don't think about it. Anyway, and so he said, I want you to go give him a Bible study. Well, I didn't know how, except I'd watch my dad. And one of the things he'd always say, he'd say, now, oh, you know, read John 3:5, except a man be born of the water, and they'd read, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And my dad would say, now, I didn't say that. That's what the Bible says, right? So here I am, 12 years old, and I told the young guy who was 11 years old, I said, now open up, you know, John 3:5, and I'm teaching him about baptism and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And he said, all right, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. I said, now, I didn't say that. That's what the Bible said, you know, because all I knew was to tell him what my dad said. And so had to get that off my chest here, you know. My dad was the kind of person to just throw you in there. And I remember in starting the church, there were people that would come and they would bring an offering. I mean, they would never come to church, ever. They'd come on a weekday. And the business owners, they'd come and say, Pastor, I may never come to your church. They pull an envelope out, but I want to pay my tithes and my offering because I know God's going to bless me. And they would understand that they would be blessed financially because it's a principle in the Word of God. And so when we live by the principles in the Word of God, we can receive the benefits of obeying those principles. The one I'd like to highlight to you today is being that death and life is in the power of the tongue. If I can simplify it, I would say it matters what you say. All of the wives turn to your husbands, and without any hostility, just tell them in your kind, meek, gentle, Holy Ghost-filled spirit, and say, it matters what you say, sir. Can you tell them right now, just kind of look to them, let them know, it's all right. All of the Holy Ghost-filled, meek women of God here, letting that be known in a good way. I'm not going to tell the husbands to turn and say it, because then we're going to have problems, all right? So I'm just going to leave it there. That's what I'm talking about. You all understand. Moving on. And the point being is, it really does matter what you say, right? And it matters especially when you say it. Because you can speak life. You can speak also on the opposite end, negativity, and eventually death is what you will see. You see somebody at the store, you know, and they're speaking negative about their child, and it makes you cringe on the inside, thinking, man, that child eventually will begin to believe what that person is speaking over their life. And it goes the same in the kingdom of God. Now, it's important to know that as a person in general, that what you speak in the atmosphere indeed will change the atmosphere. But when you speak as a Holy Ghost filled believer, it takes it to a whole new dimension. You can prophesy into existence what you don't even see. You can speak into the future, into the realm of your atmosphere, of your home, of your car, of your kids, your wife, your husband. If they're not serving God, you can go and speak that into their life and say, you know what? God indeed is going to touch your heart, and God indeed is going to touch your mind. And one day you will be able to feel the love of God, and you won't walk in chaos or depression or fear anymore. You don't have to be mean about it, but the moment you begin to realize that there is power in the tongue, and that you as a Holy Ghost filled believer can change the world around you. Can you imagine what would happen at your job with those that are sick in their body if you just walked by and said, you know what, I curse cancer in Jesus' name. I curse depression in Jesus' name. I curse diabetes in the name of Jesus. And you begin to speak life. Can you imagine what would take place if you learned the power being that you have in your tongue? You may be seated. It's important what you say, no doubt about it. There was a Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4, had a son, and this son was a miracle child. She was not able to have any children, and the prophet would come by, and the story goes that she would build, her and her husband would build the prophet a room in their home and make him feel welcome when he would come. And I'm sure he appreciated that. And one day he looked at the servant and he said, hey, go ask this woman what she has need of. And she wasn't able to have any children, and so her husband wasn't able to have any children. They just together were not able to have any children. And so the prophet said, well, about this time next year, you will have a child. And the miracle child comes along and is born into the world. It's an amazing thing. They can rejoice about that. They can be excited about that. And one day the Bible says the boy is out in the field and he falls sick. And the father says, send him over to his mother. And the mother lays the boy on her lap. And right there in the mother's lap, the boy dies. Gives up his last breath. Now that is a tragic moment. That is really, in our terms of where we're at in society, just out of order. And even in the era of life, it's out of order for a parent to bury their child. To even think that thought really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It would get somebody even filled with faith absolutely the opportunity to have their faith chipped away at and doubt begin to creep in. Well, is God really real? You know, he was a miracle child. Is this really a good thing for me? You know what? I've hit rock bottom. My child has passed away. I mean, that's where this mother is at. There on her lap, she has a decision to make. Well, I can go ahead and proceed with, you know, the funeral plans and proceed with, well, I guess that this is just the way that it's supposed to be. I guess this was the destiny of this promised child. She could have chosen that route, and most of us probably would have chosen that route, being in the devastated state of mind that we would have been in had that been the case. But she decided to understand, you know what, I realize I'm gonna give it one shot, because I realize I've got power in my tongue. And so she puts the boy up there in the room where the prophet would normally stay, and she goes to her husband and she says, now get me donkey and then give me a servant. I'm going to go and see the prophet today. And the husband, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he says, you know, it's not time to go see the prophet. It's not really according to the ritual, you know, of the time, the normal times that we go and see the prophet and do what we do there with the man of God. You know, it's just not the right time. It's not the right thing. Why are you going to go bug the man of God in this moment, in this time? And she looks at him, you know, you can imagine they're both in this devastated state of mind and fear is creeping in and doubt should be creeping in at this point. She looks to her husband, this man of God, and this woman, she begins to speak out. She says, you know what? It shall be well. Now that makes no sense whatsoever. Doesn't sound right, doesn't look right. Because the reality is her surroundings do not declare it shall be well. Her current situation does not declare everything is going to be all right. Her current situation doesn't speak that by any means. Anybody would walk by and anybody would come by and realize her boy had just passed away, absolutely would think she was out of her mind as she would begin to declare, well, it shall be well. But she understood something, and that's what I'm trying to pull out here today, is that we also need to understand, though our circumstances may be dark, though we may be going through a situation, though things even in the world are going wrong, that doesn't mean that we have to declare and pronounce death over our life or over our situation, but rather because we are people of God, we have authority with God. We've got favor with God, and because of that, we can declare as well, just like that Shunammite woman, even though she had a son that was dead, she declared, it shall be well. And I believe it was in that moment when she declared into the atmosphere that everything was going to be all right. That's when the life began to come back into the boy. That's when life began to come back into the atmosphere. I'm trying to tell somebody today that you can literally change the course of your life right now in this very room. You can change the course of your atmosphere and what's going on around you as long as you begin to declare and speak it with your mouth. I will have joy. I will have peace. I will feel love. I will know God. No hurt in this world will hold me bound. Nothing in this world will be able to hold me bound, because I know the Lord, and it too shall be well. Why don't somebody clap your hands and magnify God? I feel like the enemy has tried to take your words. The enemy has tried to keep you silent. The enemy has tried to keep you silent for too long. But today is the day that you can begin to declare into your home, there will be peace. Into your mind, depression has no authority. Into your heart, fear is not allowed in the name of Jesus. Go ahead, somebody clap your hands. I feel the Holy Ghost. Why don't you shout hallelujah as we magnify the Lord. Do you feel that in this room? Why don't somebody for a moment just go ahead and clap your hands, and why don't you open up your mouth? I know it's Monday night, but God is still on the throne. I know it's an off night, but God is still on the throne. And guess what? I can feel him in this room. And because he's in this room, absolutely anything is possible. It's in moments like this that the blind see. It's in moments like this that the deaf hear. It's in moments like this where Jesus is that we begin to declare life where death once tried to have its way. We begin to declare love where hurt once had its way.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Yes, Jesus, yes. I'm telling you, it shall be well. I don't care how dark it looks. I don't care how bad it feels. It doesn't matter who walked out last year, yesterday, or last night. I'm telling you today, it shall be well, because God is on my side. And if God is for me, there's nobody that can stand against me. There's no devil in hell that can come against. Don't matter who hurt you. Doesn't matter what happened when you were young. I'm telling you today, the love of God is for you. What happened on the cross, I declare it is for you in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The doesn't matter how far you've been, how low you've been. I'm telling you today that heaven is for you as well. That God has established that you can make heaven your home. If you've been born in the water and baptized in the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you today, you can make heaven your home. You don't have to worry about what this world has to offer, because this is not my home. I'm not worried about what's going on. I can't wait to get to where there's streets of gold, to magnify God Almighty, to where He is the light, and He is the life, and He is my all in all. I'm telling you, it shall be well. I'm declaring the Holy Ghost, it shall be well. Just like Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones, I'm telling you, it shall be well. Why don't somebody speak that into the atmosphere? My kids will come back in the name of Jesus. Why don't somebody declare it? My wife will come back in the name of Jesus. My husband will have joy in the name of Jesus. It doesn't feel like it right now. It doesn't feel like it walking through the valley, but I know that God is with me and it shall be well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. There's somebody in need of a miracle today. You feel that? And Jesus is here. Guess what? He's the one that does the miracles. But somebody today is going to understand. You can remain standing, sitting, laying down. Doesn't matter to me. Someone today, when you begin to take the word and you begin to go ahead and bind yourself to the word, what's going to happen is you're going to begin to speak into the atmosphere. And when you speak into the atmosphere, you begin to take on the likeness of God. Why? Because the Bible says in the beginning that God said, "Let there be light." It is after the likeness of God in His nature to speak into existence what wasn't there in the beginning. That in the middle of a dark situation. You know what that means here today? That while the world gets darker and darker and darker, all it is a greater opportunity for apostolic people to begin to declare light. While this world, while this city might be going more antichrist by the day and the minute, we can begin to speak. My God is still on the throne. My God is real. My God is alive. His blood is still warm in the name of Jesus. He can still cleanse and deliver. He can still do it today. Why don't somebody open up your mouth? Maybe you haven't shouted in a long time. Maybe you don't know what to say. That's the best time to open your mouth and begin to shout hallelujah. Begin to shout it. Begin to declare it. The enemy would like to keep you silent. The enemy would like to keep you silent by making you think you don't have enough faith. Don't worry about that. Just begin to speak the word and the faith will come. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know that woman had it all together. I can't tell you that woman, that Shunammite woman, had it all together for her. I don't know that she had all the faith in the world, but I know that when she began to speak it, all of a sudden she began to believe it. And it was later in that moment, the prophet came back and he began to blow the breath of life. And when he began to blow the breath of life, all of a sudden that boy that was once dead came back to life. Can I tell somebody today that same Jesus that brought that boy back to life back then is in this room right now? There's about 75% of you that believe that. But when Jesus would walk through the village there in the Bible, when Jesus would walk through their town, it was one blind Bartimaeus that said, "Hey, get me to the right side of the highway. I can't see what's going on, but if you sit me in the right position, I'll hear the commotion because I got to get to Jesus, no matter what it takes." It was others that literally tore the roof down. And when they did, they understood that's Jesus in the temple. That's Jesus. All I've got to do is get to where He is. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Just get to where Jesus is and He'll take care of the rest. Hallelujah. Jesus, I give you glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Why don't we all stand together? I can't keep on preaching. I just feel the Holy Ghost here in this house. Is that all right? Why don't we stand together? Just want to follow what Jesus is doing. Here's the difference. Here's the difference. As you remain standing, we're not going to beg like we have in times past. We're not going to, oh God, would you please help me? David stood before Goliath. And Israel, the army, was facing the same giant as David was. The difference was the people of Israel let Goliath talk for 40 long days. That means they let the enemy talk for 40 long days. First time David heard it, he said, wait, hold on. Who is that oversized Philistine think he can come talk about the people of God that way? Look, you may not feel like a child of God today. I feel the Holy Ghost. You may not feel clean on the inside. You may not feel, maybe someone did you wrong. Maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe there's something going on. Maybe there's temptation and whatever sins it was that happened even just yesterday. Maybe that may be the case. You might not feel 100% right now, but can I tell you, it's not you that's going to get you 100%. It's the love of God that's going to get you there. It's His blood and His mercy that's going to cleanse you, that's going to take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. David was no perfect man. As a matter of fact, he was just a boy as he stood there before Goliath. And he really didn't even have the words to speak, if you think about it, or even the wisdom in which to fight. Why? Because he didn't have the skill. He had never fought another man before. He had only killed a lion and a bear. The others were warriors. They were the elders. They were warriors. They were men that knew what it was to draw the sword. They would have understood what it was to be in the battle. And so he was unequipped. He was outnumbered. In every single way, he was unqualified for the battle that he was in. But when Goliath began to speak, Goliath began to tell him, I'm going to feed your body to the fowl of the air. That's what the enemy said. I'm going to feed your body to the beast of the field. That's what Goliath said. And you know what David said back? He didn't say, wait, hold on. Let me think about this for a moment. Or, well, you know what? I don't feel good on the inside. No. David looked up at him, unqualified, unequipped, unprepared for what was about to happen. And he said, you know what? I don't come to you with a sword and with a shield. In other words, it's not about how I feel. It's not about what I got on. It's not about what's going on around me, but rather I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I'm here to declare to Portland in the name of Jesus, we have come as people of God in the name of Jesus Christ, and we will indeed see greater revival in Portland and all of Oregon in the name of Jesus. It will happen in your home. It will happen in your family. It will happen all around you. Because I declare it shall be well. I declare it will come to pass. It will come to pass in the name of Jesus. All over this room, what I'd like us to do, this is the most important part. We're not going to beg. We're going to declare. And there's a difference. We're going to speak it. Just like David did on that day. I want you to grab your neighbor, your friend, whoever's with you, say, let's come on up to the altar. We're coming together. No matter what your situation is, what you're praying for, you feel Holy Ghost filled, or whether you don't, I want you all to come. Everybody that would like to come down to the altar, would you come? Say, I just want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. We were praying for a lady in St. Louis a couple weeks ago. She was blind in both eyes, And I want to tell you that God brings dead things back to life. And as the people of God were praying, I went over, laid hands on her. I walked away. And people all around her gathered around. They began to pray, but they were persevering in prayer. I watched them. They didn't just leave after a few seconds. They continued to pray, and they were declaring, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And the pastor texted me 2 days later on Tuesday. He said, hey, man. He said, I got to tell you, that lady, remember she was blind? Yeah. And they went to pray. I said, yeah. He said, she went into the doctor's office on Monday. And when she went in, they were actually going to take both the eyeballs out of her sockets because it was dangerous. The nerves that are connecting the eyeball there were completely dead and had been for a while. And so the procedure was already set. They were going to go ahead and go through with that procedure. And when she got to the doctor's office, remember, we all prayed on Sunday. We all declared on Sunday, as a matter of fact. And so he said, when she got to the doctor's looking at her results and say, well, you know what? The nerves that were dead are literally growing back. They are literally alive in your body right now. What we're going to do all over this room, the faith that's in this room right now, anything can happen. You're lame in your body, you can walk, no problem. Jesus will heal you. You know, he created your body. Repair job's really not a problem. Even if you don't have it, God will form it. He can make it. As long as you believe. I'm going to tell you this last thing. What we're going to do is we're all going to shout hallelujah as loud as we can. And when you shout hallelujah, you are declaring there in that one word. You are declaring the power of Almighty God. All right? And I'm going to speak a word of faith. We're going to shout hallelujah. Whatever you feel to declare after that, you can do that. Whether it's cursed cancer, whether it's cursed depression, whatever it may be, you can speak that. Is that all right? And when you speak that, you speak in authority, just like David there with Goliath. My father-in-law, he pastors in Hawaii, and he was there with a boy that had passed away. As a matter of fact, the boy had drowned. That's how he had died. And he had been at the bottom of the ocean for over 2 hours at this point that my father-in-law had gone to the hospital. When he was there in the hospital, and this boy was already dead, he had sand coming out of his mouth, sand coming out of his ears, his nose, and every area. And so it was completely hopeless case. In his lungs, they said his lungs were filled with sand. And so he had been there at the bottom of the ocean for over 2 hours. And my father-in-law got there, and just to comfort the family, they had called him. And he told me, he said, you know, I got there to the side of the bed, and I really felt the Lord begin to speak to me. I felt to speak the word of God. That's what he said, to declare the word of God. And so I got there where the boy was, and right beside him, I begin to declare, you will live and not die. You will live and not die. You will, every time more faith, every time more fervor, every time believing that God would indeed bring this boy, a hopeless case, back to life. Can I tell you, your hopeless case is the best situation for God to do a miracle? Yes. Nobody ever received a miracle without a need. So your need just puts you one step closer to receiving a miracle from God. And he stood there beside of the bed. You will live and not die. You will live and not die. You will live and not die. And he began to declare over and over and over and over. He didn't beg God to bring him back to life. He didn't ask God, I hope and pray that you would. He began to declare with the authority that God has given you, with the power that is in your tongue and the power of the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside. And as he began to declare over and over and over again, right there in that hospital room, that boy came right back to life. His eyes opened up and breath came back into his body. And his father had flown in. He was an atheist. He'd flown in from Washington over to Hawaii. And he looked over at my father-in-law later the next day at church, and he said, you know, I actually flew over here to bury my son, but because of your prayers, I'm here today and not burying my son. He is alive. Can I tell you that God can do absolutely anything in an atmosphere just like this? Why don't you lift up your hands all over this room right now? Why don't you lift up your voice toward God? Would you do that? Would you open up your mouth right now and begin to go ahead and declare what God is putting in your heart in the name of Jesus? Would you speak that with great faith in this room? Don't beg God, don't ask God, just begin to declare it in the name of Jesus. All over this room, we're going to shout hallelujah as loud as we can on the count of three, and God's going to begin to do what only God can do right now by the authority of the word of God and by the power that's in the name of Jesus. I declare life into this room. I declare life over every person watching, even online, there in your living room, in the name of Jesus. Everybody, let's shout hallelujah. 1, 2, 3. Hallelujah. That's it. God's in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.